In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. For the sisters, we heard today the healing of the demoniac who suffered so greatly. This demoniac was outside of society, outside of neighborhoods, outside of relationships, outside of his right self, who he was meant to be. And he was possessed by demons, and so many that it says in the gospel they were called legion. A legion of demons had come into him and possessed him. And Christ comes to him and sets him free and restores him to his right mind, to his right self, to his right relationship with God and his neighbor. When we see this encounter of Christ with the demons, we have a foretaste of what will happen at the end of the age. The demons even allude to this themselves. Are you coming to send us out into the abyss, into that eternal fire that was prepared for the devil and his fallen angels? Is now the time, they ask. But the Lord says, no, not yet. The Lord also comes not just to deal with fallen angels, but he comes to deal with fallen men. And who do we see that represent fallen men in today's gospel accounts? Certainly the man who was possessed by demons. That man actually illustrates the final condition of fallen man. Fallen man in his final condition will descend even into the depths of hell and be possessed by demons for the rest of eternity. That man illustrated what was to come if man did not arise from his fall. But in this lesson today, we see fallen man who's not yet in possession of the demons, but fallen man who lies in possession to himself, possessed by himself. St. John, in the Ladder of Divine Ascent, he says that a proud man needs no demon. He has turned into one. He has become an enemy to himself. Proud man needs no demon. Why? Why would a proud man need no demon? Why would he be an enemy unto himself? Because it's pride that becomes a wall between us and God. It's pride that makes us separate from one another. We have walls between brothers and sisters through pride. Pride gives us a feeling of self-sufficiency, feeling of superiority, and ultimately a feeling of complacency. Because when we're good already, when we achieve the apex, the climax of everything, what more is there for us to do? Even, is it possible to grow anymore? Is it possible to become better? Pride undermines all of that growth. And we become paralyzed because of our complacency. And this is a form of death. This is a form of possession. The contrast today was very strong, and I hope you didn't miss it. The contrast was not between the demoniac and the villagers, although that's probably what they thought it was all about. The villagers saw this guy out there struggling with demons, and they probably said to themselves, how pitiful this sight. This is what becomes of man who's separate from God. Thankfully, we're not in that situation. We're normal. We're normal human beings, not this guy. But of course, they didn't get it. And brothers and sisters, we have to get it. The contrast today was not between the demoniac and those villagers. It was between the healed demoniac and those villagers. Because the demoniac and those villagers, they were still held by the bonds of the fall. They were living a life separate from God. It was the healed demoniac that was reconciled to God, who accepted Christ. Remember at the end, he's healed, and what does he say? Lord, I want to come with you. I want to be with you. What did the villagers say? Lord, get out of here. Depart from us. Are you come here to, in a sense, torment us before the time? Wasn't that just about what the demons had said? Isn't that what was on their minds? Why are you here? Our life is good. Leave us alone. proud man needs no demon. He has turned into one, an enemy to himself. The villagers were proud. And our society is a proud one. Our society has little place for Christ. We are pushing him away every single day and every facet of our existence. We are becoming less and less Christian. We are becoming like this village and these townspeople. And yet Christ still walks amongst us. Christ still comes to those who are possessed by demons and possessed by themselves. And he offers healing. He offers restoration to a right mind and true communion with himself and with one another. And this happens in the church. Today, we're very, very blessed to be receiving Margaret into the church through Holy Chrismation and Holy Communion. To become a member of the body of Christ, a consecrated vessel, a child and an heir of the heavenly kingdom, to receive together with us a pledge of that kingdom to come. Not the kingdom that we fear, the kingdom of eternal condemnation, but the kingdom of joy with our heavenly Father. This is what we anticipate. This is what we look forward to, and this is what we welcome Margaret into. It's been said that it's impossible to be a Christian by oneself. It's impossible to be a Christian alone. Father George Florovsky, who has many wonderful writings addressing the great heresy of individualism, the idea that we can be a Christian alone without anyone, without the church, he says Christianity from the very beginning existed as a community. Nobody could be called a Christian by himself. As an isolated individual, but only together with the brethren. Christianity means a common life or life in common. Shared life. That's what Christianity is all about. But ironically, or seemingly so, in today's gospel reading, when this demoniac is healed and he wants to join the Lord and be part of that common life, walking with the disciples, what is he told? He's told, no, you stay here. Amongst who, Lord? They have rejected you. How can I stay here? How can I be a Christian alone? And yet when we read in the other evangelists, we read that this man was actually not alone. There were actually two demoniacs there. There were more than one. And they struggled together. And Christ healed them both. And healing them both, he left them both there so that they could strengthen one another and be a common witness to the people there. Well, I don't understand, Father John. How could one evangelist say that there was one demoniac and then others say that there were two? Which one is it? Well, let me ask you this. It's football season. There are Raven fans. If you're going to a Ravens game, what do you tell people? I'm going to the Ravens game today. I'm going to see the Ravens play, right? Do you mention the other team? Maybe. Maybe not. Because the importance for you is the one team you're going to see. The best team in the world. Perhaps. Maybe not. But the focus is on one team rather than both teams. In the evangelists, it's the same. Their focus was on the demoniac who was possessed by the legion, who had it much worse. That was the focus. It's interesting, actually, also in the evangelists, when you read all the accounts, and it's covered in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this healing of the demoniacs and the one who had the legion. They mention different places. Gergasa, which was a lakeside village on the Sea of Galilee. Then there was another place that was mentioned, Gadara, which is a little bit more inland. It's a larger city. And some commentators even thought it was Gerasa, which is the most famous city of that region. So we have these three different cities, two of them mentioned by the evangelist. Well, where did the healing take place? And the answer is simply near all of them. They were out in the wilderness. They were outside of society in all of these neighborhoods and all of these cities and villages. Well, why do certain evangelists mention certain cities and then one evangelist mentions the village? Well, it's simply because the evangelist who's writing to the Hebrews, Matthew, he writes it in Aramaic, he mentions the smaller place. Why? Because they know the smaller place. For Mark and for Luke, they mention the larger city because they're writing to an audience that's spread throughout the world, and they will not recognize the smaller village. They'll recognize the larger place. So the Gospels give us a slightly different perspective, and they give us writings that are given to a slightly different audience. But they give us the same common message. That's for everyone. For everyone in the world, whether you're from there or whether you're from here, whether you're from that age or this age, or from any society in the world, the message is the same: to accept Christ and to realize our pride and our self-sufficiency, our superiority, and our complacency. And that this will possess us not only now, but lead to our eternal condemnation then. Brothers and sisters, this is a challenge for us to accept Christ in a world that rejects Him. To be people who embrace Him and embrace the repentance that He calls us to. To leave behind worldly living. Not just leave behind association with evil and demons, but leave behind regular, ordinary, earthly life. That is the call of the Christian. To die to oneself, not just to reject evil, but to die to oneself and be reborn in Christ. How interesting does that sound to modern man? Not very interesting, because modern man is happy with himself. Life is good. Life is good. I'm happy. And yet Christ brings us so much more. And He brings it to us in community. You know, these demoniacs, they struggled against the demons, but they had the consolation of one another. You think about the one demon-possessed man who didn't have the legion. It's pretty bad to be demon-possessed, but he could look and he could say, well, this guy has many demons. I should struggle a little bit if he's struggling so much. And the guy who has many demons says, look at this other guy. He's also struggling. If I give up and I let these demons run me down the cliff, like they would do to the swine, what will become of him? They had each other in the worst time of their life. And when Christ healed them both, they had each other in the best time of life. They illustrated what community is all about. And as we receive Margaret today, we have to be those who illustrate what community is all about, what the church community is all about. Those people who are not happy with not only evil, but not happy with worldly life. Those people who want to receive Christ. And it's not easy to do in such a world where the devil is prowling like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. What does a roaring lion do when they're looking for prey? They hunt. They strategically plan the attack. And when do they make the attack? At the right time, at the right moment. But what about if the devil has us surrounded, already in his possession? Is he going to make the attack right away? He's already got us. He'll go and round up others. Those people who have a chance to escape. And he'll bring them close. He'll lure them in. And what is the moment of attack? What is the moment of the kill? It's at the end of our life. That's when he seats the dragons down to hell. We don't know it until the very end, because we've been living without eyes on what his plans are for us, without a knowledge that we can fall not just to earth from heaven, but we can fall from earth to hell. The devil cared nothing for the people in the villages and the towns and the cities because he had them already. He had them because they were in possession by pride. Brothers and sisters, we have to see through the devil's tactics. And we cannot be disinterested in the life of Christ because we are so interested in our own life, the life of this world. We know where that leads on the appointed day. Brothers and sisters, let us be people who together embrace the Lord, acquire that right mind, acquire that right relationship with him and with one another. Let us be people who struggle together in the worst times and rejoice in the best times. Let us be people who do not descend into hell and be devoured by that lion, but ascend with the Lord into heaven and rejoice as children of our Heavenly Father. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Amen.